been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you here as Ion Travel continues from Egypt. Of course, you can always reach out to me. You know the drill. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones out there in Louisville, Kentucky. I've got Aldous on the phone. Hey, Aldous.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Nice to be on your show.
And nice to have you on the show. How can I help you?
Well, my wife and I both got global entry passes issued in June of 2018. They expired in March of this year. So in December of 23, 3 months earlier before expiration, we both applied. Therese, my wife's card was reissued like a couple weeks later. Mine is in review. It's been 7 months now. The website says that they can't, that's not necessarily unusual that one person could be quick and the other could take up to 14 months. I had one extenuating circumstance, and that is when I first used my global pass, I reported that I had an apple in my backpack from an early morning breakfast returning from Costa Rica, and I was honest and told them I had it, and I was honest to my renewal application and told them I had the apple and what happened, that we just took care of it, but I don't know if that's a factor. So all anyway, right. Don't know if you can shed some light.
All right, so here's the deal. First of all, you had the dreaded Costa Rican apple. But you know what? Here's how it works. And I've, by the way, it's happened to me. I'm going to tell you. Global Entry, of course, is the best thing to happen since sliced bread as a government program that I've seen in a long time. I love it. I live for it. I live by it. It really works, as you know. But here's the deal. You can be denied renewal, or you could even be denied getting one in the first place for all sorts of things that you didn't even realize, right? One being having that apple in your backpack. In my case, I was over in Europe in the Piemonte region in Italy and visit a winery to do a story on one of the winemakers there. And I gave him my card. And unbeknownst to me, he wanted to say thank you and ship me 4 bottles of wine, which, by the way, violated tariff agreements between the two countries. I never got the wine. But number two, when the wine showed up in the U.S., apparently it was intercepted by U.S. Customs and confiscated. I never even knew it was shipped. And when it came time for me to renew my global entry, I was asked, well, what about the wine? I said, what are you talking about? And then they told me, I said, oh, you know what? That's what happened. They understood. They took it off and I got my application renewed. But that's probably what's happened to you. Now, if you've for everybody else listening out there, think about this. If you've ever had a DUI, you can be denied. If you've ever had a misdemeanor of any kind, you could be denied. Or at the least that's going to happen is what's happening to you, Aldous. You can be reviewed. And that's what's happening. Here's my suggestion. When's the next time you're going to an international airport?
We're going to Iceland in September.
Right, but which airport are you flying from that's an international
airport? It's called Muhammad Ali now in Louisville, Kentucky.
Right, but I'm saying you're not flying nonstop. Which airport are you connecting to for your international flight?
Let's see, we're going to Toronto.
Okay, that doesn't help. All right, we need a U.S. international gateway airport. So let's say it's Chicago or Atlanta, JFK, LAX. All have U.S. Customs officers there. That can do, they're set up to do actual interviews for people who've applied. What you need to do is the next time you're anywhere near those airports, you have all your documents, at least copies of them, go see them and see if they can get into the system and intercede for you based on your story. I will be shocked if you don't get your renewal. They're just taking their time.
Okay, great.
Okay, but now you understand why. And next time,
you
come back from Costa Rica, eat the apple on the plane.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to ditch it, and I didn't do it.
See, I know. And those little beagles at the airport will get you every time.
They did.
All right, Aldous, thanks much. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Bye.
You got it. And here's an email from Kathy who writes, I'm traveling to Egypt this October. How appropriate. Do you recommend obtaining a visa on arrival at the Cairo airport or before I depart? Also, should I come equipped with foreign currency or use a credit card without foreign transaction fees for purchases while in Egypt. Okay, let's talk about both of this. One, it's an easy answer. Visa on arrival in Cairo. Piece of cake. They'll charge you. You'll put it on your credit card. It's about anywhere from $20 to $50. And the stamp's in there. You're in and out. You don't have to go to any Egyptian consulate to go through the paperwork in the U.S. That's number one. Number two, you've already answered your own question. You don't have to come equipped with Egyptian currency. U.S. dollars are welcomed everywhere, number one. In fact, they're really welcomed in Egypt, a country that didn't used to have the Egyptian pound as a hard currency, but now they do. So you can do all your exchange rates over there. My suggestion is don't do it at the airport. You're not going to get a favorable exchange rate. And you might not even want to do something else. Check your own ATM card to see if your bank does a situation where they don't charge you fees for foreign transactions at ATMs overseas. And a lot of companies do that now, meaning they'll waive that for you. And therefore, you can actually take out only what you need every day and not worry about a bad exchange rate or an unfavorable situation where you've got a lot more money than you need. And that's what you do. All right. Don't worry about bringing foreign currency with you. You never change U.S. dollars to foreign currency in the U.S. You'll never get a beneficial exchange rate. Stick around, everybody. When we come back, more as Ion Travel continues from Egypt right after this.
You've been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Ion Travel continues with our special edition coming from Egypt. And of course, you can always reach me. You know that drill. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to some of the emails. Here's one from North Metro Atlanta in Georgia. I heard you mention on the radio, this is from Richard. He says, I heard you mention on radio a couple of weeks ago about having traveled to North Korea two times in the past. He's absolutely right, I have. I'm wondering if you did this with tours operated by Young Pioneer Tours. I did not. It was another tour organization that's based in New York and Beijing. In fact, that's how you go in. You go in through Beijing. Did you feel comfortable during the entire trip? Yes, but I'll give you a qualified yes on that. Remember, you have a guide who's really your minder, and you're not free to roam on your own. You're not free to take pictures unless they give you permission to take pictures, and no souvenir taking either. Everything is considered property of the state. So you're just going through what they want to show you. They take you to what I would call a show village, which is not really representative of how most North Koreans live. But still, it was very interesting to be there and to experience that. I did that both in Pyongyang and also, of course, in the DMZ, going in through Seoul another time in the demilitarized zone right there in between North and South Korea. He asked, you also mentioned a few places you'd never care to visit again or similar to that on the radio program. Might you just elaborate on that? Well, you know what? I didn't exactly say that, Richard. I said it may not be the first place I'd want to go back again. I mean, I've been to places like Afghanistan. I've been to places like Khartoum and the Sudan. Not the most fun places in the world to be. Of course, I was in Kuwait right after the U.S. Overthrew Saddam Hussein, and they drove them back to Iraq. Not a great place to be at that time, but you know what? I don't regret the experience at all. There are certain places right now I wouldn't want to go right this minute, based on what? Who's in control? That's my metric. I don't just base it on a U.S. State Department advisory. I base it on who's in control. I'm speaking to you right now from Egypt, where a lot of Americans are afraid to go. Big mistake. Egypt is totally safe. I've been coming since 1974, all right? I mean, it's about situational awareness. But would I go to Haiti right now? No, because nobody's in control. Would I go to parts of Yemen right now? No, nobody's in control. How about parts of Chechnya, Syria, and of course, Russia, considering the situation with certain journalists who've been arrested, completely wrong, right? Not a good time to go. However, there are 196 countries in the world, Richard. There are about 9 of them right now, maybe 10 that I wouldn't go to right now. Of the other 186, count me in. I hope that that answers your question. Now, you said to me in your email that you want to visit Tallinn, Estonia, Warsaw, Krakow, and you know what? Why not? I've been to all of them, and they're beautiful. And you said you wanted to visit them at Christmas time, which is even better because so many Christmas markets to visit. So you're doing the right thing. Okay? Here's one from Susan who writes, I've had a problem encountering trying to renew my TSA pre-check. I've recently filled out the forms on the website, only received the message that the server was unable to complete the transaction. I've spoken to multiple agents, told to try different browsers, credit cards, or provider. All efforts have ended with the same result. She's from Portland, Oregon. She says the Portland Staples store advertised that it was a location for renewing TSA PreCheck. The staff member told me they were too overwhelmed by the demand and gave me another website to pursue. Same result. Okay. My TSA PreCheck expires in 10 days. What would you advise? Well, right now, you're not going to get it renewed in 10 days. That's what I would advise. But there's another way to do it. Have you considered, what kind of credit card do you own? Do you have an American Express Platinum card, a Chase Sapphire card, or even a Capital One Venture card? Many of those cards give you PreCheck as a statement credit, and they streamline the service for you. I would definitely look at it that way. Or you can email me with more particulars, okay? Peter at petergreenberg.com. Send me your issue in writing. Send me your current preferred trusted traveler number, right? So we have it on file. And let me check with the guys at TSA to see if there's someone there who can personally help you through this. I know it's frustrating, and I know that you love TSA PreCheck. What you really ought to do is go out and get Global Entry, right? Get Global Entry, because when you get that, again, you'll get statement credits on those three credit cards I mentioned. But once you get Global Entry, guess what they throw in the process? TSA PreCheck. So it may be the best way to go. Again, email me, Peter at petergreenberg.com, with all the particulars, and I'll run it up the flagpole at TSA. But for the moment, since your PreCheck's expiring in 10 days, be prepared to take your shoes off and get in the regular line until someone can get back to you and help you out. And I should also say, your experience is not an unusual one. The servers sometimes break, the system sometimes breaks down, but once you get it, you know how much you love it. And me too. All right? Again, Peter at petergreenberg.com with that question, and we'll get right back to you. Hey, coming up in the next hour, we're going out to St. Catherine's. That's right, an amazing monastery in Mount Sinai in Egypt. There's so much history here with books dating back to the year 900, not to mention the history of the intersection of the three great religions in the world, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Back with more of Eye on Travel on this special edition from Egypt right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues from Egypt. Of course, you can always reach me. You know this drill. You just email me to Peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go to some of those emails. Here's one from Linda who says, when should I book an awards flight from Miami to Charles de Gaulle using Virgin Atlantic miles flying Air France for early November? Talk about a convoluted idea here using the SkyTeam and your mileage program. Well, the answer is now. Virgin Atlantic has been notorious in the last couple of weeks for constantly devaluing their mileage programs and upping the redemption levels to be able to redeem not just on Virgin Atlantic, but any of their partner carriers, and that includes Air France. The numbers are getting a little astronomical and stupid, so every day that you wait makes it more difficult. Do not wait here, Linda. You go out there and redeem those miles and get that awards ticket if you can get one. Now, the good news is, early November is not going to be crowded in Paris. The Olympics will be way over by then, and you'll probably have a good chance, but the redemption levels, if you're looking at what Virgin's doing, doing these days are still going to go up. Redeem them now. Okay, here's one from Erica. I'm visiting Finland this year from December 10th to the 16th and was wondering if I'd ever get to see the Northern Lights at least once in the span of these 6 days, since I'm going to be putting a lot of money just for this. Well, I'll give you a qualified yes, Erica. You still can see the Northern Lights in December, more than likely between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., but I have to tell you, that's not the best time of the year to do it. There are two other times of the year, and this is not those times. I just have to warn you, but if the weather is forgiving, you will at least see a little bit of the Northern Lights, okay? Just wanted you to know that. All right, here's one from Lee. When we were in Italy often, the house wine was wonderful. Of course it was. I'm wondering if the same is true in Spain. Of course it is. You will find that house wine in both Italy and Spain is abundant and high quality, and you're not going to be disappointed. But of course, Lee says in her email, we're from California, and we're used to great Napa wines. Well, you know what? Napa has great wines, but it has no monopoly on great wines. Be prepared to have fun and enjoy some quality wines in Spain as well. Here's one from Alicia. Says, my family is traveling to Santorini this summer. That immediately sets off a red flag with me, by the way, but I'll tell you in a second. Let's continue reading. And we're celebrating my parents' 50th anniversary as part of the trip. Congratulations to them. My sister and I are looking for unique dining experiences we could book to celebrate. A great restaurant, a beautiful location to eat from, a cooking class chef. We'd like to find something private and there are five of us, all adults, comfortable and not too pricey, blah, blah, blah. Okay, remember I said it set off a red flag? You couldn't have picked a worse time to go to Santorini. Santorini defines the word over tourism. The last three times I have visited the island of Santorini, I did it by ship. I never left the ship. It was in the summer. I could even see with the binoculars people walking elbow to elbow. It's not pretty. The same, by the way, applies to Mykonos. In fact, recently the Greek prime minister says he's now considering restricting the number of cruise ships to Santorini and Mykonos in the summer. And now we know why. So let me check in to see what might be open for you. But here's the problem. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be messy. I'll get back to you on that. I just have to give you the red flag, because the bottom line is it's been that way in Santorini for like at least 5 years, and it's not a fun experience. You want to go to Santorini in September and October, especially my magic month of September? Home run. Santorini in June, July, or August? Yeesh. Not for me, and hopefully not for you, but you're going. So email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. I'll try to get back to you with at least one or two restaurants that will be somewhat less crowded. Okay? All right. Here's one from Kathy. My partner and I are wanting to travel to the Lake Geneva area in August for about 4 nights, preferably the French side, but not a requirement. I'm trying to look for some less touristy places to stay. Well, you know what? If we're talking Switzerland and Lake Geneva, now you've got my attention, because I love to rent a car in Switzerland, right? And where do I got to drive from Geneva? I'm going to drive about an hour and a half to where? Into France, into France, called Lake Annecy. How beautiful is that place? And there's a little community there called Talloire. And since you're going to be there in August, try to make a reservation for an unbelievable experience at a restaurant, which I'm going to tell you, you must promise me not to have breakfast or lunch that day. You got to wait for dinner. I mean, look, the cheese board at this restaurant is the size of most people's dining room table, with extensions. Okay, the name of the restaurant is Auberge du Père Bise. It's right on the lake. It's phenomenal. It's not inexpensive, but again, you're going to be there for 2.5 to 3 hours. You're going to eat slowly. You're going to savor. You're going to experience, you're going to have a great view, and don't forget the cheese board. Anyway, that's my suggestion for you on the French side. All right, Lake Annecy, so beautiful. And then on Talloire, Auberge du Père Bise. Okay, here's one from Stephen. I've seen lots of discussions about long wait times getting out of Lisbon Airport, but I'm wondering if there are at least fast lanes or dedicated lanes for business class travelers. Good news, Stephen. They finally woke up in Lisbon. They now have e-gates. Thankfully, no 3-hour waits to get through passport control. You don't have to worry about a fast line. Just go through the e-gates. You'll be one happy camper. And thank you to the folks in Portugal for finally coming into the 21st century. That music means we're out of time for the entire show. Lots of people to thank. Of course, Amanda Morris, our producer. Jeff Ryder doing the boards back in the East Coast, otherwise known as Connecticut. And of course, all the folks we've met here and spent time with here in Egypt to make this trip truly memorable. We'll see you next week, everybody, from another remote location somewhere around the world. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.